This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is the Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Now, here's the Glow Show.
Hello and welcome to another Vic Police Glow Show on Joy 94.9. I am your presenter, Jace, and with me in the studio, as always, is LGBTI liaison officer Gabby Tyack. Hi, Gabby.
Hi, Jason. Great to be back again.
Certainly not Gary.
No.
Not Gary.
Not today.
But who are we joined by today in the studio?
Well, we've got Darnie Houseman.
Hi.
Hi, Darnie.
It's great to be back.
And one of our youth resource officers, Sophie Todorov.
Hi, everyone. Thank you.
Sophie, what is a youth resource officer?
A youth resource officer is someone who works in a proactive policing unit. So basically my main role is to identify young people aged between 10 and 24 who are at risk in the community of either victimisation or offending, and working with them in a lot of community groups.
Right. So in more recent podcasts, last time we spoke to Dinesh, who was a multicultural liaison officer. Obviously, we've gotten to know LGBTI liaison officers. I'm starting to see a trend. You all really work together, right? Because there's so many issues and so many situations that kind of are interlocked, intertwined.
Yes. Absolutely.
I'm assuming this role would date back a little bit further than the multicultural liaison and the GLOWs. When was this role conceived, guys?
I'm just wondering if Sophie knows the history. She probably would, hopefully.
Well, you can correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't know it, so everything you say is the truth.
Look, I guess it stemmed from the days of the school resource officers, so right. The police in schools program that was around until about 2001.
Okay.
So they were the officers that used to go out to schools and provide education and sort of a fortnightly basis with the same school over a period of time, and had that sort of positive engagement with the schools. When that role was abolished, I believe the youth resource officer role came into effect. So that was right. More proactive, but it also encompassed a whole area of our duties, I guess.
Yeah. Could I ask why the role was then abolished and changed, or was it just maybe a governance thing? Or
Roles within Victoria Police change all the time.
Yep.
As a big, large organisation, we're always trying to improve. So when we're doing things for a while, someone comes along and goes, well, let's do it this way, it will be better. Whether it is better or not, we find out as time goes by. It was a very popular program, and a lot of people were unhappy that it finished, but out of that grew the role of youth resource officers.
Right. What prompted you to get involved and to take on this challenge? Take on this role?
Sometimes it is a challenge. Look, I've always had an interest in proactive policing. I've always been a people-orientated police officer. So even when I first joined the job, I had a youth portfolio, and I had a couple of years down in the Latrobe Valley where I had that role and really engaged well with the young people there in addition to my general duties. So I guess this particular role became formal a couple of years ago. I took up a secondment out at Yarra Rangers and did the role there for 12 months, and now I've moved over to Forest Hill where I do the role full time.
Region to region, does the role and the daily experiences change much, or is it much the same?
In essence, it's fairly similar, but it does change according to like divisional needs and priorities. Mm. So I find that my role now is slightly different to what it was over at Yarra Rangers.
I'm assuming because there's different situations that kids can get themselves, youth can get themselves into, dependent on where you're actually located, right?
Yes. Look, there are probably issues identified, say, in Yarra Rangers that were slightly different to what I'm experiencing here. I cover Whitehall, so.
Yep.
Different demographics and, the geography even.
How many youth resource officers are there?
Across Victoria?
Yeah.
I would have no idea. That's a good trivia question.
Probably more than the GLOWs, right?
But you're a divisional, you have them in the divisions, so there's one or two of you in every division, is that right?
We've actually got a few. So now, for example, I work in Eastern Division 1. So in my office, there are five of us YROs, in addition to an MLO, so the Multicultural Liaison Officer, and the Divisional Firearms Officer. So we work in a hub in our office, and we cover different LGAs within that division.
I think back to when I was at primary school, and I am sure that the most enjoyable days were always when the police came along, because you don't get to interact with too many people of different backgrounds or different lines of work when you're a student. The police are always there, and I think back to our bike education. So we used to take the ride to Listerfield Lake, and we knew that the police were going to escort us there, which was always a bit of a hoot with a siren and the lights going. But then also the police helicopter landing on the school oval every so often. It must be really important to do these things and to get, especially like when you're looking after youth from 10 years old, it's really important to sort of reach out to them and connect with them at that young age, so that you start to form their idea of what the police are all about.
Yeah, absolutely. I often do outreach and foot patrols, and I see mums telling their little kids off in the trolley saying, "Don't do that or the police will lock you up." And I'm like stepping in saying, no, we don't do that. We're not the bad guys, and we need to help.
Threats by parents. Yeah. I'd get the same thing working in Safeway when I was just working in the dairy case. That boy's going to take you away. I'm like, don't paint me as the bad guy. Rule your kids.
Actually, I was doing one of the reassurance patrols that we're doing at the moment in relation to the terrorism that's been happening around the world. And I heard that exact same thing. I heard a mother see me and say to her two children, "There's the police, behave or she's going to arrest you." And I turned around and said, "Hang on. Yeah. Actually, come to us if you need help. We're here to help you." And I had a bit of a
Isn't
chat
that
with
scary?
The kids.
Because that's a lot of, you're going to have to rebuild that kid later on.
So, I think I solved that problem before it happened, because I think children listen to their parents most of the time. And as particularly when they're quite young, if we're painted as the person that's going to take you away and lock you up, you're not going to come to us if you're in trouble. I said, what if you're lost and you need some help from someone? Who are you going to look for? If you see the police, you need to come and talk to us. Don't run away from us. Yeah. So we had a good chat with them, but it happens far too often. So interacting with young people at a very young age as police is very important.
So some of those events that you go along to, I think back to only a few months ago where there was a welcome to Melbourne for the Asian students at the Sydney Maya Music Bowl. I believe the big police were there off the top of my head.
I believe they were.
Yeah. What other sort of events do you usually interact with students, young people at?
Well, I can speak for myself. I suppose now that I'm in Whitehorse, we have our local community events. So we had the Ida Hobbit Day. So I did an event at Box Hill Mall with our other agencies and a lot of our young people. And also went out to Deakin University in Burwood and had some fun there. We've got the Spring Festival, which is for Whitehorse. That's a big community event with live bands and marquees set up, and getting involved in the community and lots of other, smaller scale community events that we have, local forums, and we have youth expos and things like that.
How long does it actually take to be trained in your role? Because, talking to a 10-year-old is by far different to trying to communicate with a 24-year-old, right? And I would imagine that communicating with a 24-year-old is more difficult than a 10-year-old, because the way that, dare I say that 23, 24-year-old's attention span is probably less than a 10-year-old?
It can be. And I guess you put that down to policing experience. I've been doing the job for quite a while, so I've just learned how to talk to people and adapt to different situations and being flexible and non-judgmental as well has gone a long way. And in addition to that, being a parent, I think, has a lot to do with how you approach a 10-year-old.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And Sophie's also a GLOW. She's a YRO and a GLOW.
Yes.
Very good.
So that means the YRO, you do that as if that's a full-time job?
Yes.
Right. And then so the GLOW is the role that you sort of do on top of that, or in conjunction with that, sort of adding to some of the, giving you different knowledge and information around how to deal with particular community members or particular issues that come up?
Yes, definitely. It's a portfolio. So it's in addition to my current role. And it actually goes hand in hand really nicely because I find that those issues do overlap. So, and again, I cover the same age groups, but if there are older people requiring GLOW assistance, happy to help and reach out to them. Yeah.
We talk about language, we talk about the way people like to identify themselves, and for the LGBTI community, lots of different students young people, the way we identify for our sexuality, our gender changes quite rapidly. I mean, just this morning we had a discussion around trans issues and the correct way to address pronouns and all that kind of thing. How often do you have to be re-educated around language and making sure you understand language and how to refer to people? That's probably an open question to all of you, I would say.
I think it's an ongoing process. And one of the difficulties I know we face across the organisation is the ability to actually not only run training for our members across a range of issues, but also run it in a way where they're going to actually be able to attend. We rely quite heavily on what we call the Victoria Police Learning Hub. So it's an internal system that you can log into and do a whole lot of different training and educational activities on. And as part of that, we've actually got a new section that's available to members where, from the area that I work in, which is called Priority Communities Division, we represent we've got managers across 8 different portfolio or community groups. And we've actually started, through a lot of our community stakeholders, sourcing information that they're producing to put up onto that learning hub. So, for example, I know Minus 18 and Y Gender have recently produced the Trans 101 sort of information series. We've got that up on the learning hub. So that's a place where our members, if they're not sure or they haven't done training for a while or they've never done training at all, that they can log in there and find out a little bit about what the contemporary language might be or the preferred language might be.
So does the Victoria Police actively go out of their way to those particular organisations every so often just to connect and, you know, ask them if things are changing or if there's different ways to, trying to better their resources and re-educating their members? Or do you have them approaching you?
Yeah,
or?
We do it in a number of different ways. So, for example, Sophie recently identified an LGBTI family violence training event, I think it was, that was happening somewhere and sort of said, this would be great, and sent it to me to distribute to the other GLOWs to see if other people could go along. So there's lots of the GLOWs and the members that are out there through their engagement discovering different opportunities or bits of information that then they can share in with me and I can share across the organisation. We've also got a portfolio reference group that meets quarterly. So that's key members of key stakeholder groups that we've identified. So, for example, Minus 18 sit on that, the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, Transgender Victoria, a range of organisations sit on that. And so we're often asking them and engaging with them. You know, they can let us know what's going on. If we need assistance with things, they'll often have a look at documents or raise issues, review things for us.
What sort of resources are there to young people, your 10 to 24-year-olds? If they've got particular questions, they don't know how to approach the right person to ask questions, be it an LGBTI liaison officer, youth resource officer, or even multicultural officer, is there like an online sort of resource, like a hub where people can go to find out more information and to maybe like a contact list?
Well, the Victoria Police website definitely has information about GLOWs and contact lists for us, for YROs.
I don't think that list is available to the public. It's an internal list at the moment, which is currently being updated as well. But usually if they phone into their local police station, they should be able to be put in touch with their local youth resource officer. So I get emails all the time from uniformed members just asking if I can assist that person and do the follow-up with them. And it could even arise from an incident that they've attended out in the road on the van.
That's good to know, isn't it? Because I think sometimes people could be perhaps afraid to call the police because they'd be worried that it's not an emergency, because you hear drilled into you, don't call 000, for example, until there's an emergency. So you might be a little bit cautious of calling your local police station, but you can in fact call your local police station to see what who can help out.
Yeah, definitely in our specific roles.
Yeah, I mean, you can ask about any of the proactive officers. If you want to talk to a GLOW or a youth resource officer or a multicultural liaison officer, ring your police station and say, hey, do you have one? And if you don't, where would my closest one be?
Very good.
And there is some information on the Victoria Police website. I know that there is kind of like a kids page, so it's not necessarily for, everybody aged under, it could be for everybody aged under 24. They've got lots of fun colouring in things as well. It depends how much you enjoy colouring in.
Well, adult colouring books
exactly.
are popular these days.
But they have lots of information and resources directed specifically towards younger kids, which don't necessarily talk about the YRO, the youth resource officer role, but it's just a way of, I think, trying to make the organisation more accessible to younger people, especially much younger, children.
Earlier on, we were talking about parenting in the streets, and sometimes the parents, look towards the police and say the police are going to get you and lock you up. What does a police officer do if they are a parent? How do you put the fear into your children?
Oh, I think we struggle more with that. I think I had a recent incident where I said I should have done the police negotiators course with a teenage daughter.
Hilarious.
Yeah, I think that's just learnt.
Well, Sophie, thank you so much for coming in today and talking about your role as Youth Resource Officer. It's been a pleasure. Hopefully we get to have a chat to you again sometime in the near future.
Thank you. I'd love to.
Thank you also to Dani and, of course, Gabby.
Thank you. See you next time.
You've been listening to The Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Head to joy.org.au/The Glow Show to find more episodes or search Joy 94.9 Glow Show on iTunes. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. Rate and review if you like what you hear.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.